This is an iHeart podcast.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Wednesday, and we are going to be all over the place today. And there's a reason for it, because there's a lot going on. And I'm even going to begin someplace totally out of left field, but let me set things up here. People want to know what's with all these attacks on Jews? Attacks on Jews all over New York City. What's going on? We're going to have another very hard talk about that. We're turning terrorists loose from Guantanamo Bay. Oklahoma, they seem to be heading the right direction. Are you ready to move to a red area just yet? Fauci has given us permission to come out of the pandemic phase, and Joe Biden, man, legally, he looks like he's in trouble. There's more Elon Musk talk. We have emails. We are all over the place on the Jesse Kelly Show. But with all that going on, there was so much today, and I'm going to get to a lot of it. Mayorkas, DHS Secretary Mayorkas testified before Congress, and that was a big deal today. All that going on, I could go a million different directions, and I'm not going any of the directions you expect me to go. Because I have made a promise to myself. I won't say a promise to you, because I'm a terrible person. I'd probably break that promise. But I've made a promise to myself that no matter what happens from now on, that we are not going to forget what these people did to us during coronavirus. And I understand that may not be popular. Even if you're mad about what they did to us during coronavirus, maybe you're just done and you just want to move on and you just want to forget it happened and you just want to let it go. And if that's where you are, I get it. I'm not blaming you for that at all. But I watched this government at every level, city, state, federal. I watched the governments, various levels of it in the United States of America, assault the people they're supposed to represent. I watched them abuse people for 2 years. And yeah, I'm going to get to Mayorkas here really quick, but I can't let this go. I heard this today. I had a friend send this today, a buddy of mine in New York. He sent this to me, and it just, here it is.
I think some 1,400 city employees were terminated because they weren't vaccinated. Do you see them being able to get their jobs back at some point, or is that rule in place?
That rule is in place. What did we say to those over 300,000 New York City employees that understood we were in a dangerous time, the city needed them? They stepped up, they did the right thing, even those who had uncertainty. And I really take my hat off to them, because without them, we would not have gotten through COVID.
I understand this has been talked about 1,000 times. Believe me, this is not a replay show. I'm here live in the chair on a Wednesday. This is not a replay show, but this has been talked about a bunch. We had people going into work during the coronavirus pandemic. Specifically, you know what? Let's focus specifically on healthcare workers. We had nurses, administrators, nurse practitioners, doctors going into work every single day during the pandemic, especially during the pandemic's height. And not only did they go into work because of coronavirus and everyone was testing every single day, and that if you tested positive, you had to quarantine. Because of the insane rules during coronavirus, the people, specifically, let's focus on the healthcare workers who went into work during that pandemic, they worked hours that were brutal. I mean, we might as well go ahead and include police and fire in this. Hours that were brutal because everyone was calling in sick, right? Everyone, well, sorry, Bob's not allowed to come in. Hey, guess who's working a double shift? They worked endless hours. They worked like dogs trying to make ends meet, trying to take care of people, protect this society. And then along comes a therapeutic, which we are still mistakenly calling a vaccine. I'm sorry, You don't still get sick after taking vaccines. That's exactly the opposite of how vaccines have always worked. I understand everyone wants to redesign the definition of vaccine now just because this one doesn't meet the mark, but this is not a vaccine. It is a therapeutic. Up to you whether you take that therapeutic or not. Maybe you think it'll help you get through coronavirus easier, but we now know for a fact you can still get it and you can still spread it. We know that for a fact. So because they came out with a therapeutic, and the Democratic Party, not just citywide, statewide, federally, they decided that this was the end-all be-all and nothing else mattered. They decided they had to force everyone to take it, and they took all those nurses, doctors, administrators, cops, firefighters, who worked their fingers to the bone during the height of the pandemic, and they threw them out like trash. They threw them out like trash. I'm going to play this for you again. And I want you to listen when he talks about who did the right thing. So if you came in and you were working 80-hour work weeks and you didn't get to see your family and you were a walking zombie because you're caring for patients in overrun hospitals, but you, for whatever reason, religious, medical, whatever reason, decided you didn't want the therapeutic and got thrown out like trash, you're now told you're the bad guy. You didn't do the right thing. That is so freaking unjust.
I think some 1,400 city employees were terminated because they weren't vaccinated. Do you see them being able to get their jobs back at some point? Or is that rule in place?
That rule is in place. What did we say to those over 300,000 New York City employees that understood we were in a dangerous time, the city needed them? They stepped up, they did the right thing, even those who had uncertainty. And I really take my hat off to them because without them, we would not have gotten through COVID.
I'm not going to let this go. And I want you to understand something. Yes, you know we have fun, we laugh, we're going to do a lot of that tonight. We're all over the place, got a great guest or two for you tonight. I'll tell you about that in a second. But I'm never going to let this go. I want you to understand if this is a problem for you, then you should probably move on, because a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, I am going to be sitting here in this chair talking about the people who were treated like crap during coronavirus. It is unjust. It is wrong. And that there isn't more outrage about it makes me freaking sick. We got Navy SEALs out of a job. Marines, Army, Air Force. We got pilots across the country out of a job. Or even worse, I'm sure you didn't hear about it, American Airlines pilot just had to set his plane down, cardiac issues because of the therapeutic. The fact that this is not still a national outrage makes me sick. I'm playing it one more time. I'm playing it one more time, and I want you right now to think about not just cops, firefighters, nurses. I want you to think about pilots. Forget about all these people. I want you to think about any person in the United States of America who was told, take this or lose your job, and they didn't take it, and they lost it all, and maybe they're still trying to make ends meet. Maybe they're still out there looking for work. Maybe they had to pack things up and move back in with mom and dad. Maybe mom and dad had to move back in with kids. I want you to listen to these people. And this is what... I'm fine, Chris. I'm fine. This is what makes me so angry. These people are just forgotten about like they're nothing. Like this never happened to them at all. Like there was never any abuse of them. And the people who did the abusing, they still act like they were the good guys and everyone else was the bad guy.
Some 1,400 city employees were terminated because they weren't vaccinated. Do you see them being able to get their jobs back at some point? Or is that rule in place?
That rule is in place. What did we say to those over 300,000 New York City employees that understood we were in a dangerous time, the city needed them? They stepped up, they did the right thing, even those who had uncertainty. And I really take my hat off to them, because without them, we would not have gotten through COVID.
These monsters all think they're the good guy, and it drives me freaking nuts. It drives me nuts. All right, that's enough. Sorry, I got my blood pressure up early. I didn't shout that much, Chris. I almost cursed a little bit on the air, but held back not to brag like a professional would. Like, look, I did a lot better than the Jersey girls.
Oh, my God, it is.
Hey, hey,
Murphy. How you doing? Such a
I just want to point out, this is how I really felt. This is exactly what I really wanted to do on the radio tonight, but I would have been fired.
Oh, my God, it is.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, my God, Murphy.
How you doing?
Such a
You're having you fun with your family. In the meantime, you're having all kind of other bullshit.
No, I'm not drunk, as a matter of fact.
Can you put your mask on?
You can go f*** yourself. How's that?
Well, I don't need a mask on. You know why I don't need a mask? Because there ain't nothing
like
f***ing wrong with me.
I like your Trump phone.
You're f***ing right.
Yes, your Trump voice. He likes my dad.
Yeah, he doesn't like your
phone.
Oh,
he does.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Thank
you. You know what?
I love them so much. All right, that's enough. We got a great show. We got the great Carol Roth joining us about 20 minutes from now. She's one of these economic experts. You know who Carol Roth is. I have her on all the time. I want to talk to her about this Deutsche Bank prediction of a recession. Is that a bunch of garbage? What is that? But before I get to that, I read you the email yesterday, and it blessed me, about Tunnel to Towers. About the guy who used to give to a bunch of different charities, and then because of what we talk about on the show, all the ripoff charities, he looked into them. And he found out just how many of them are garbage. Honestly, I obviously love the mission of Tunnel to Towers the same way you do. I mean, formed after 9/11, they're dedicating themselves to paying off mortgages of Gold Star widows. Building smart homes for veterans who are catastrophically injured. I mean, who doesn't love that? I know you love the mission. I love the mission. But that wouldn't mean anything if they were over there taking your hard-earned money and blowing it on Rolls Royces and champagne. I don't want you to take my word for it. Go look up the independent charity raters. Go look up Tunnel to Towers. When you give your $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers, it goes exactly where you want it to go. They ask you for $11 a month. Go to T2T.org and sign up today. T2T.org. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't forget, we have Carol Roth joining us about 10 minutes from now. I want to know what's with all this recession talk. She's one of these economic brains, but one of the people, I really appreciate this, because I'm a stupid person, I appreciate when smart people put things in terms I can understand. When it comes to economics, it's always inflation and stagflation with the market pressures. And I don't know what you're talking about. I don't work for Goldman Sachs. I'm not sitting here doing the show from Wall Street. I don't know what you mean. Carol Roth breaks it down for us 10 minutes from now. What's going on out there for normal people? What's it mean for you? What's it mean for me? We have Morgan Zegers joining us a little more than an hour from now, like an hour and a half from now. She's going to be inspirational. She's one of these young people. She's in her 20s, early 20s, but she's out there leading this new right movement, this anti-communist movement, and I dig that. So we have all that and more coming up tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. Now I have to get to a couple of the biggest stories today. The system. We talk a lot about the system and how corrupt it is. We talked yesterday about the New York AG still going after Trump. I mean, we talk a lot about how corrupt things get from top to bottom. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about who's sitting on the Supreme Court and the lower courts that make huge decisions on behalf of this country. You see, it flew under the radar today. You probably haven't even heard of this, but Joe Biden has a brand new judicial nominee, not for the Supreme Court, obviously, for one of the lower courts. And this lady is a communist nut job. And it's not that I expect you to care about this individual, you know, specifically. I want you to understand critical decisions that impact your life and my life, they might be made by this person. And I want to give a shout out, credit where it's due, to Senator Josh Hawley, who blasted this lady. It's a little bit longer than I normally play. Yes, for once, I'm going to let the whole thing play, Chris. I am. All right, I'm going to try. I'm going to try to let the whole thing play. But here it is.
Let me ask you about the Southern Poverty Law Center more generally. What year did you join SPLC?
2019.
2019 was the year that the SPLC paid $3.4 million in response to defamation lawsuits. 2019 was the year that Charity Watch gave your organization an F rating. The SPLC has been labeled by the left-wing policy journal Current Affairs as an outright fraud that uses willful deception designed to scare liberals into writing checks. The progressive journalist Alexander Cockburn said this about SPLC: I regard it, the Southern Poverty Law Center, collectively as one of the greatest frauds in American life.
Okay, one. Ouch. Anyway, continuing.
Also in 2019, SPLC employees told the press, we were part of a con and we knew it. That's in a New Yorker article, not exactly a right-wing journal. Are you concerned by any of this record of the organization that you work for?
Senator, what I'm glad that I didn't hear in that litany is a complaint about the voting rights work that we've done, about the clients and the community.
Are you concerned that Charity Watch gave you an F, that you had to pay $3.4 million in response to defamation lawsuits, that you've been criticized, your organization's been criticized as a fraud and a con job, and that you work for an organization who says it's their goal in life to completely destroy their opponents? None of that gives you any pause.
Senator, again, my work with the Southern Poverty Law Center has been to uphold the constitutional rights of individuals who, without pro bono counsel, would not be even able to have access to justice.
I have to tell you, I find your answers absolutely extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. I can't believe you've been nominated for this position. I can't believe that the President of the United States would nominate someone from this organization with this record.
Daggone. Oh, Josh Hawley, taking no prisoners out there. Look, the judge stuff, I'll be frank. We all have blind spots. Is that a nice way to put it? Flaws. We all have areas that we don't pay enough attention to. Like Chris and personal hygiene. Chris? It's fine. No, seriousness. We all have areas we don't pay enough attention to. Because I am not an educated person, I'm in fact a very stupid person with very minimal community college education, I don't pay enough attention to the judges and the law and the judicial process. I just don't pay it the attention it's due. These people, if they get through the nomination process, these people go and they sit on these courts. They sit on these courts for the rest of their lives and they make these gigantic decisions that affect each and every one of us. And it's just awful. And that's why I try to bring on as many experts as I can, even though I don't do a ton of guests on the show. Whenever I can, I bring someone on to try to explain some of this stuff to us. Like today, a great example of this is today. Mayorkas. Mayorkas is the DHS secretary, all right? The DHS secretary, that's a big deal. I have spoken to several GOP congressmen publicly and privately, and they tell me, this is probably the guy who's going to get impeached. Sadly, it's not going to be Joe Biden. If the GOP takes over the House, this guy's probably going to be impeached. Why? Well, the head of the DHS is actually spending millions of your dollars to keep the border open.
The wall projects, the majority of them, rest in the jurisdiction of the Army Corps of Engineers. Those that we ourselves control, I believe that the cost of discontinuing them is approximately $72 million, and I will follow up with you to ensure the accuracy of my statement.
$72 million. Not to be a Debbie Downer, and we're going to get to Carol Roth here in a minute, but does it ever give you a moment where you think, oh, man, that hurts? When you pause and think, not how many people are actively working against you, the fact that you and I pay for it. We're paying for the agents of our own destruction in this country. Gosh, that's terrible. All right, enough of that. We're going to get to Carol Ross. She's going to school us on recessions here in just a second. Before I get to that, remember you can email the show, love, hate, death threats, whatever you want. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. The great Carol Roth joins us next.
Get the head right.
Biggie there and I. Papa been smooth since days of under rules. Never lose. Well, that music can only mean one thing. That means my friend, the amazing Carol Roth, has joined the show. She is, of course, a recovering investment banker and author of the book you should have already read by now. Go get it, The War on Small Business. And it was a war on small business. Carol, let's begin with the ugly stuff right now. And no, I'm not talking about The View. Deutsche Bank, they're predicting, and I quote, a severe recession next year. That's their words, not mine. Carol, that doesn't sound good.
No, it's not the best. And it's one of a number of potential outcomes, and this is what you happen when you have central planners playing God with monetary policy and fiscal policy and stupid other policies, like, as we've talked about, turning off like a third of the economy and trying to turn it back on again, like you're power cycling a modem. All of these things that have happened over the last 2 years, and then extra intelligent policy out of the Biden administration, things like canceling oil and gas leases, that was great. The American Rescue Plan, you know, let's add another $1.9 trillion of fuel into the fire here. Let's throw some almost $2 trillion into a supply-constrained economy. That all seems to be great. So basically, you have a Federal Reserve now that's going, wow, inflation's out of control. Who could have, you know, imagined that entirely predictable outcome? We now have to, now all of a sudden we have to do something. And the only things they can do are things that likely will slow down the economy in a way that ends up in either a recession, stagflation, which is a stagnating economy with high inflation, or maybe by some miracle it all comes together. But if you're a betting person, you probably don't bet on choice number three.
Okay, you said a variety of different ways it could turn out. Let's just assume, because we're both adults here, you more so than me, but let's assume...
That's very generous on both of our behalves, by the way.
Okay, you know what? We're not both adults here, but since we both pretend to be...
We play them on the radio and on TV.
That's right. Since we're both pretending, let's assume the Biden administration is going to continue to take every bad step you could take to avoid a bad outcome. So assuming that, because that's all they've done so far, look, I can only go off of what's happened so far. What does a severe recession mean for the average person right now listening in horror to the sound of your voice?
All right. So recessions are predicted, or they're actually not even predicted. You're told about them after they happen by the National Bureau of Economic Research. So that means a government organization is saying that there has been a slowdown in economic activity across the economy that lasts usually more than a few periods, more than a few months. And as we know, the government's never forthcoming. So, you know, it's going to have to be pretty bad in order for them to say, yes, this was a recession. And the things that they look at are the inflation-adjusted gross domestic product. They look at the inflation-adjusted incomes of people. They look at the employment situation. They look at production from an industrial standpoint and sales. The thing is, we're so messed up in terms of the economy. Like, we have so many job openings now that normally if you had a recession, you would say, oh, well, you know, that's going to mean massive unemployment. But we don't have enough workers. We have 1.8 open jobs for every worker who's looking. So a couple things could happen, let's say, just on the labor front. It could be that you just end up with the companies who are looking for workers not looking for workers anymore, but they don't necessarily fire anyone. Or you could end up with a number of, you know, small businesses probably who are looking for workers closing because, you know, they can't hire everyone. The prices are going through the roof. People aren't spending and whatnot. So this is there's so many things that are messed up at historic proportions. It will be very interesting to see what they say about it and, you know, which of those factors that I talked about actually get impacted from a headline number standpoint.
Speaking with the great Carol Roth, investment banker, recovering investment banker and author of the book, The War on Small Business. Okay, Carol, can you break down for me, I mean, obviously business owners, and Goldman Sachs isn't stressing this, but can you break down for me what it means to the normal middle class, maybe lower middle class American, if interest rates grow up, if interest rates increase, because they're not out buying a new house, probably, maybe not out buying a new car. What do they care if interest rates grow up? How does it affect them at all?
So it depends. If you are a carrier of debt that has any sort of adjustable component to it, so something like a credit card or an adjustable rate component to your mortgage or other kind of loan that you have outstanding that has that interest rate that's not locked in, that means that you are going to pay more on that. By the way, if you have a mortgage that has a floating component and haven't changed that, go ahead and do that, lock that in right now. So that's, kind of where they would probably see it the most. Obviously, as you mentioned, if you're a first-time home buyer, your mortgage rate's going to go up. But, the real issue here is that they're trying to, take capital out of the system and slow demand. And so, as I said, where that probably ends up showing up is on the business side of things with a slowing, whether it's a small business or even some of the larger businesses saying, we're seeing our businesses contract, capital is more expensive, we're not able to sort of make the profits that we were before. And so that could end up, with, different economic outcomes. You also, and you're probably seeing it already, may see it in your 401ks and any sort of retirement savings you have or any savings invested in the stock market, because again, it increases the cost of capital for business, which means when you do a valuation on a business that you're not giving them the same kind of valuation, credits, and that decreases the price of the valuations of the company in the stock market. And we've already seen, in anticipation of this, the stock market coming off their highs.
Carol, you're a Chicago woman. We talk a lot about cities and the crimes in the cities. We talk a lot about New York and the crime. We talked about it tonight when it comes to anti-Semitic hate crimes and things like that. Does crime affect business? I mean, there's always that theory out there that businesses are going to pack up and leave. There's too much crime. Well, you're in America's shooting gallery. Has it worked that way?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the city of Chicago that, a couple years ago was incredibly vibrant has really been hit with all kinds of issues. Obviously, we saw the protests in the summer of 2020 that saw lootings and burnings and all kinds of things, and a lot of businesses haven't recovered from that. We have a tremendous amount of retail theft. So we have a number of big companies that are leaving the area and people who aren't coming back to work, and that trickles down to the smaller businesses. If you're a coffee shop or, the guy who has the donut cart or whatnot, and you don't have tourists coming through, you don't have the office workers coming through, you don't have workers going to work at, big retail companies, then you don't have customers. And so that kind of trickles down and impacts your business. And then we have just an epic number of carjackings as well. So people, aren't as keen to leave the house, certainly tourists who would normally come to Chicago for, shopping and fun are thinking twice just because of all the crime. And it really does, trickle down. It's not just the one company that's affected. It ends up trickling down and affecting everybody and shrinking the economy.
Wow. Even more trickle-down economics. Carol, your book is outstanding. I want people to buy it, and I don't want them to buy it from one of the big retailers. I want you to give out the small business thingy that you do usually do.
Well, first of all, definitely, if you have a local small business shop, do there, because that money will stay in your local economy, like three-quarters of it, or almost three-quarters of it. But if you are online and lazy like me, go to bookshop.org, and they will fulfill it from a local small business bookseller. And by the way, it's not just my book. All kinds of books that you can get at bookshop.org.
Bookshop.org. The book is The War on Small Business. Carol, appreciate you.
You as well.
All right. It is time to talk, rhetoric, dangerous rhetoric. anti-Semitic hate attacks are up. How's that possible? We're going to talk about that in just a second. Before we get to that, have you practiced with your Mantis X yet? Have you? Do you have your Mantis X yet? There is no excuse now to not be training with your weapon. Before, I'll be honest with you. Look, I'm not one of these super ninjas. I'm not one of these guys. I've been at the range for 9 hours today. I can't wait to go for another 9 tomorrow. I'm the guy, kids, wife, busy. I'll hit up the range next week. I don't want to go. I don't want to spend the money on the ammo. I know. I don't get those excuses anymore. I have a Mantis X system. It attaches to my weapon. I practice inside of my home. I get feedback inside of my home. I get put through drills inside of my home. I'm shooting as well now as I have since the day I left the United States Marine Corps. Buy a Mantis X system. They mail it right to your house. Go to MantisX.com. That's MantisX.com. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and let's dig into something uncomfortable before I get to some emails here. The headline is this from the New York Times. Anti-Semitic attacks in New York are at the highest level in decades. All right, this is the New York Times. It is by far, the biggest, most important newspaper in the country. They just had a headline here about anti-Semitic attacks in New York. Highest level in decades, all right? I just read you the headline. Now, the guys printed me off this article, and it's 4 pages, and we are going to go through this just together, just speed reading, and we're going to try and see if we can find who is attacking the Jews in New York City. All right, let's start paragraph 1. Orthodox Jews are being assaulted. Ooh, this one says swastikas were drawn on a Long Island home. That sounds scary. Okay. Another one said, this one said, Jews want to take your guns. Okay, so we still don't have anything. We had a reference to swastikas. That's interesting. Okay. Maybe there's a bunch of Nazis in New York. I know. Maybe they're out there. Who knows? I haven't ever seen any. But, okay, another one said 416 anti-Semitic incidents. Look, we're on paragraph number 4. We're just going through this together. There's it's actually a nationwide trend. Wow. 2,717, including 88 assaults. That's 167% from the year before. 167% increase. Man, this is more than just New York. This is nationwide. I bet. Look, we're on paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I bet any second now we're going to find out who's doing it. Hang on. We're going to keep going. Paragraph 6. They have a quote from the Anti-Defamation League. Nope, nothing about that. It says, we had Jews beaten and brutalized in broad daylight. And that sounds bad. Oh, nothing about who was doing it. Okay, we'll move on. Paragraph 7, several high-profile incidents. Whoa! Okay, these are high-profile incidents. If they're high-profile, obviously now we're going to find out who's doing it. Hang on, let me look. No, nothing there. No, nothing in that one. Paragraph 8, nothing there. Paragraph 9, we don't even have, what's weird, we have these high-profile cases. There aren't even any pictures within the article of any of the people doing the attacking. Okay, all right. Well, hold on, no. Paragraph 9, stay with me. Paragraph 9, we have a quote from Andrew Yang. Ooh, AOC got in there. She got a quote. More Jews are being attacked. We had somebody say, we've seen this happen in the Latino community where there's a wave of scapegoating around immigration policy. Oh, okay. Oh, we've seen this happen in the Asian community where there was scapegoating for COVID-19. Okay. So we see a couple other people who've been victimized, but still no descriptions about the attackers. Hang on, we're almost done. Only a couple paragraphs left. Remember, biggest newspaper in the country. These are high-profile incidents. Third to the last paragraph. No, nothing there. 4th to the last paragraph. Nothing there. Says group of Hasidic males were attacked, struck by a driver. No information about the driver. Another. All right, final paragraph. I bet this one's it. Final paragraph. Nothing. Oh, whoa. Hold up. Incidents involving swastikas. There we go. So we just had 4 pages. and the largest newspaper in the United States of America about how often Jews are being assaulted and murdered in the United States of America. And the only references at all to who might be doing it are two swastikas that were found on the scene various times. Don't tell me that the New York Times cares about Jews being attacked until the New York Times is willing to talk about who's doing the attacking. Don't tell me that ABC News, NBC News. You know what? I'm going to take this a step further. I'm just going to offend everybody. I'm sure there's a bunch of Jews who are being very loud, you know, rabbis and whatnot, about anti-Semitic attacks. I actually don't want to hear you talk either until you're willing to talk about who does it. I am so sick of everybody dancing around who's doing the attacking. We've seen this across the nation. Asians are being attacked all over the place, especially on the West Coast. Jews are being ravaged in New York City, across the country. And you're so worried about it, but not worried enough to actually point out the obvious that we can all see. Of course, I'm being tongue-in-cheek. There is a huge rift right now between the Jewish community and the black community in the United States of America, and black people are assaulting Jews at an alarming rate, and not a single person wants to name them. We will never, ever, ever heal racial divides, cultural divides, if we can't ever talk about who's doing the attacking. If all of it has to be these vague references, stop hitting Jews, Jews are attacked. Maybe it was Trump. This was probably about immigration. Someone painted a swastika. I bet you it was those evil Nazis lurking right under the corner. You don't care about Jews getting attacked, New York Times. You don't, because if you actually cared, you'd want to talk about the problem. I'm done caring until you have enough guts to name the problem. I just named the problem. We'll get flooded with hate mail. I don't give a crap. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com if you'd like to tell me how mad you are about it. If you're not willing to start naming the problem, stop complaining to me about the problem. I'm done caring. If you don't care enough to be maybe a little politically incorrect, then I don't care enough to care. Find some balls and protect your community. Start naming names. Let's heal cultural divides by having arguments and having discussions about things. You don't heal cultural divides by saying, we're being attacked by who? Oh, I don't know. We're just being attacked. Pathetic. All right. We have a guest packed show tonight. I'm going to calm down. We have a guest packed show. It's a unique night. I just have a bunch of different perspectives. We have Morgan Zegers, young anti-communist. My mentor, Michael Berry, is an hour from now. That'll be a fun time. And then we have BK in the third hour, halfway through the third hour. He's the Air Force PJ. I got a question. What's the difference between SEALs and Green Berets and PJs? And why are there different groups? What are their different missions? So all that's still to come tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show.
This is an iHeart podcast.